Amen, amen, amen. Come on, somebody, just begin to magnify the Lord, because he's worthy. He's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy.
Yes, hallelujah.
Yes, the Lord is worthy. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you are already in this place. High glory. Father, we set the atmosphere. High glory. We set the atmosphere, oh God. High glory. Father, we set the atmosphere. This atmosphere has been dedicated and energized by your blood and by the anointing, the yoke destroying, burden removing power of God. Father, we declare and decree, high glory, that even as we go forth in this time of Moadim, this set time, Father, you said that this would be a set time, an appointed time,
yeah,
of favor, that this would be our appointment. Father, you declare, you put this time in the universe just for us. And Father, we declare and decree, Lord God, that this word shall go forth unhindered, uninterrupted by any satanic weapon or force. Father, we declare and decree, Lord God, that this is going to be a time of clarity and understanding. Father, as this word goes forth, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that, Father, that we'll never be the same again. Father, we will never be the same. Father, we declare and decree, Lord God, on the north, south, east, and west, Lord God, that your favor, your anointing, your yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God is going forth right now to heal, save, and deliver. And Father, even as we are in this time of this Moadim, this appointed time, Father, you said that you have come down to deliver us in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, glory. Woo. Amen, amen. Why don't you welcome the people?
Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Restored Ministries International service. Amen. We're excited about today. This is the day. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited about just all that God is doing this morning, in this day, in this season, in this Passover season. And so today we're going to go emulate as best as we can in the space that we're in, the Passover celebration. And so we're just excited that you are joining. So make sure you share with your peeps, the folks that you rock with, your tribe, amen, on this April 28th, 2004 morning. Now,
2024, man.
Yeah, 2024. Sorry, didn't mean it.
You know, take us 20 back years.
20 years. But this normally, and I know people are like, Passover, wait, we already did Easter, because people are used to Easter and Passover somewhat going together. But this year, Passover fell later. And, you know, we, with Passover, God is, he looks at the sign, he goes by the moon as opposed to the sun, correct?
Yes, he goes by the cycles of the moon.
Yeah, the cycles of the moon. And so it just so happened this year that the cycle was very much different than what's traditionally, because again, it normally falls around the same time, right?
Yeah.
And so this year it totally didn't. And we're excited, though, about the opportunity of just the freshness and the newness of what can be. And so we know that in this season, you know, Father has come down, right? In Exodus, you're going to talk about all that, right?
Yeah, Exodus chapter 3.
So I will stop talking.
What?
Amen.
Well, you need to go ahead and go through some of those affirmations or something while I'm...
I thought you already prayed.
I didn't say pray. I said some of your affirmations. Remember, you like to go through... See, now all of a sudden, she wants to stop talking this morning. Amen.
Okay, great. Let me find him. Oh, my computer. Bless the Lord.
That's your new computer. What's over there?
Oh, there they are. I have to still figure out what I'm doing. Amen and amen. Well, we're excited about all of the great possibilities that this season holds for us. And so I invite you to, we pray every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And if we're not live, it is always there, because we are working on our diligence and our discipline, because God cannot bless our inconsistencies. He blesses our consistency, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't bless our inconsistency. He blesses, because he gives, what does the Bible say in Hebrews about the diligent? In Hebrews 11:5. Without faith is, no.
11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is.
And he's a rewarder
of them that diligently seek him.
See, and so he doesn't bless. So that kind of validates what I'm saying, that he does not bless our inconsistencies. Mm-hmm. God blesses those that are consistent in his word, those that are open for expansion and growth and development, right? And so, so it's important that we consistently stay consistent in our decreeing and our declaring and our affirmation.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. And so, I just want to share with you, if you go to Job chapter 22, verse 28. Job chapter 22, as we just affirm some things that God wants us to begin to walk in a greater dispensation of. So in Job chapter 22, verse 28, it says, Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. Right. Then in the Amplified Version, it reads, you will also decide. What? You will also decide. God is saying, You have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. You make, because we are not these robots.
That's right.
God has given us free will. So in the Amplified Version, it says, you will also decide and decree a thing.
Yeah.
And it will be established for you. Then what happens? And the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. God can't even shine his favor upon your ways, because you haven't made a decision. You're sitting up, looking up to God when God is in you. Mm-hmm. Looking up to God saying, okay, God, tell me what to do. And God is saying, daughter, son, I've given you the ability. Everything that you need is already inside of you. You've got to make a decision this day. God, am I going to walk in that which you purposed and designed me to do? If you can even say it this way, you've got to figure out, what is my why? You will also decide and then decree. And that decree, it's you speaking forth in your mind and even out of your mouth what you believe God has for you. Mm-hmm. And then that thing will be established. And the light of God's favor will shine upon your way. So let's decree and declare some things right here And right now, I will only begin to feed my mind good thoughts.
Yes.
I won't waste my mind's time on idle thoughts. I will only let good thoughts into my mind, because then only good things will happen to me. See, even as we are in this Passover season, we need to make the decision, God, that I, Lord, my mind, be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. I will only let good words come out of my mouth, because what I say is what I get. I can decide what I want, and I will decide what I can decide what I want, and I will decide and I will get what I want. Thank you, God in me. I am defining and declaring God in me as my answer right now.
Yeah.
I am defining and declaring God in me as my completeness. I'm defining and declaring God in me as my health and my happiness. I'm defining and declaring God in me as love. Hallelujah. I will make it my business to think right, to feel right, to talk right. Hallelujah. I see myself as God sees me. I see myself as a divine expression of the God presence within me. I program my life for all the good that I desire. God in me is my health. I program my life for success and prosperity, knowing that my destiny, get this, depends on how I program my mind.
That's right.
I consciously program my mind for what? Health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and infinite money. I program my mind for all that, all the good that God is. Thank you, God, in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So today we're going to be going through
Jesus.
Just a little portion, just a little bit, to just kind of, you know, we've been teaching about the feast and the Passover for the last couple of weeks, few weeks. And this would be, we're just going to do just a little mini portion of what they would do to come into that first night, which is also a Shabbat, a Sabbath night, where they would come together and retell the story, retell the book of Exodus and how God delivered them out of the hand of the enemy, how God brought his people out of the land of slavery and bondage and brought them into their land that flowed with milk and honey, and how God established his set times and his connection with his children. So that way we would always be able to benefit from this set time. See, the set time just wasn't up in the Old Testament. Amen. The we're going to find that. And let's just go to the word. Amen. And we're going
Before you.
Good morning, Corin.
I mean, before you share that. So why we even think about the feast, celebrate the feast, understand, keep the feast, is because the Lord's feasts, God's feasts, allow us to be what? Restored, reconciled, and reconnected to God, and be reconnected to his prominence, his promise, and dominion inheritance. So that is why we understand that we keep the feast, because it's a time to be restored, to be reconciled, and be reconnected to God. And that's what we always teach about.
Mm-hmm.
That this is a holy, sacred time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a holy time. This is not just some ritual. But this is, we truly believe, according to words, God's word, that God is here in the midst of us.
Mm-hmm.
He comes down to get things so that we can be restored, reconciled, and reconnected to him.
Amen. So let's go to the word. Amen. Now, according to the word, now, like I said, this is just a mini portion, okay? This is what would be done on the first evening. It's called a Seder, okay? It's the time of retelling. It's a time of celebrating. It's a time of feasting and fellowshipping in the presence of God, just like Prophet Tanya said. So we're going to be going through some scripture. We're going to be going through what you see on the screen. And this is just to help you get understanding, because the Bible said with all your getting, get understanding.
Can you make it any bigger or?
Nah, that's it. I mean, it's, okay. I mean, like I said, it's just to kind of show, you know, what goes on. We're going to be mainly in the word, but this mini representation follows the word into the why. Okay. Whenever God tells you to do something, he always tells you why. Mm-hmm. Okay. So first of all, let's just understand that just like Prophet Tanya said, these are the feast of the Lord. Okay. This is not a Jewish thing. This is not an Israel thing. This is not Jerusalem thing. God declared this, that those who would take the time to remember what he said to do and to come into his presence would reap the benefits, the grace of God in these areas where he said, I'll be an enemy to your enemies, an adversary to your adversaries. I'll bless your bread and your water, and I'll keep sickness away from you. Amen. So let's go to this. Amen. So this first page, what you see right here, would be called the preparation for the Seder. The Seder represents the dinner or the meal that they ate, okay, on the night. And why they did all this, because now remember, they had been in slavery for 400 plus years because God had demanded it. God said, God had told Abraham, this is what's going to happen because your people's just a little bit hard-headed. But God also said that he would bring them out. And when God makes a promise, the Bible says that the promises of God are yes and amen.
Can I say something?
Quickly, yes, ma'am.
So this Seder is not something that's in the Bible. This is
where it is in the Bible.
Oh, okay.
Because this is the exact dinner that they did in the midst of Exodus chapter 12. This is what they did.
Okay.
So right here on the front, you will see that the first blessing that the person that would be conducting the feast would say, it says, blessed are you, Adonai, our God, the creator of the universe, who makes us holy with your mitzvah, and who commanded us concerning the removal of the chametz. Chametz is a Hebrew word for leaven or yeast or the representation of sin. Amen. And then it says, any chametz which is in my possession that I did or did not see, which I did or did not remove, shall be nullified and be ownerless as the dust of the earth. So right here, even as we go forth, let's just get an understanding real quick. That first of all, Psalms 102 verse 13 says that you shall arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time is come. So God created this time. And this is what we have to understand. This is not something that man put together, came up with, made an event. This is considered a set time. A Moad or Moadin, which is an appointed time, appointed meeting, an appointed designated place that God declares. And then he says in Psalms 102, that it's a set time of favor. That favor is God's divine presence and influence on our lives. So we have to understand that God, when God tells us to do something, it's not because he needs strict obedience or he's trying to be a master over slaves. No, God created us as his children. Psalms 82, we are God's, okay? And we are all children of the Most High. That phrase God's is little Elohim's. So we are the offspring of God. And God says, listen, in order for us to declare that you're coming out of bondage and that you are going into a new dispensation, I am putting something in order, in place, just like you said, the diligence. God says to do this, and according to Exodus chapter 12, amen, and we're going to be going through this, Exodus chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And you shall speak to the congregation, saying, on this 10th day of the month, every man shall take a lamb into their house for a sacrifice. Okay. So, and then in verse 14, it says, and this day shall be a memorial, and you shall keep a feast unto the Lord throughout your generation, and you shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. Now, two things. He said, it shall be a memorial. You shall go back and remember, and you shall keep the feast unto the Lord. So this is not just for the Jews or the Hebrews. He said, you're keeping it unto the Lord because God wanted to make sure that he is the center and the focus point of anything that he tells us to do. But then he says, you shall keep it a celebration, because the word feast in Hebrew means celebration, by ordinance forever. So forever means forever. I think that makes pretty much sense, right? Forever means forever. So right now we're just taking the time to remember what God did and how God brought them out of the land of Egypt. Egypt represents the land of not enough. It represents slavery. It represents bondage. It represents insufficiency. So this is why God had to take them out of Egypt. And this was the preparation for them beginning to learn their new heritage, which was an inheritance of being children of the Most High. Amen. So let me get this out the way. So this would be where they would begin to, as we say, put the meal in order, like this little thing here. So now, what they did at this time, you also, when we read the word, even when the Lord was crucified, He was crucified during the time of the feast. So I know that we always talk about the Last Supper, but it wasn't a dinner meal. It was the feast of Passover that they were doing. Amen. Let me see here, right there. Let's see. Right there. All right. So much stuff. Amen. Now, we know that even in the midst of communion and things that we go through in the in our services, there is always a history. Now, the history of what we do in our modern day communion services, this would be where this time, this remembering and repentance and things like that, how it began. This is the history of how it began in our ministry history. Amen. So it says, first of all, this would be the blessing of the wine. And it says, blessed are you, Adonai, creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And in Hebrew, that would be Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Hagafon. And it says, blessed are you, Adonai, the creator of the universe, who has chosen us from all nations, raised us above all tongues, and made us holy with your mitzvah. And you, Adonai, have lovingly given us the Shabbat festivals for rejoicing, holidays and seasons of gladness. This festival of the Matzah, the season of our freedom, a holy gathering in remembrance of the Exodus from Egypt. For you have chosen and made us holy above all people, and your holy feast in joy and gladness, you granted us a heritage. Blessed are you, Adonai, who make us holy, our glory, who makes holy the Shabbat, Israel, and the festive season. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, creator of the universe, who has kept us alive, sustained us, and brought us to this season. So the first thing that they would do is, this would be the drinking of the first cup. Now, according to this feast, it wasn't one cup that they would do. It was four cups. I know that we only do one cup in our services, but this is going to be represented by four cups of the speaking of the word, speaking of the declaration, and then also drinking of the four cups of the wine, which represents the blood cleansing us in this area. Go ahead and drink the first cup. And then what they would do is they would get a bowl that would have water, amen, and salt, because salt at that time was a cleanser, okay? And we know that salt, you know, iodine, which salt is derived from, it cleanses. So they would do what is called the washing of the hands, and they would dip their hands into the water, and then we're not going to do that, but we're going to dip the hands into the water, dry them off, so that way it represents the cleansing of the hands. Psalm says, if you have a clean hand and a pure heart, see, cleansing of the hands, your hands represents the tools that blesses in the earth. Okay, he said that I'll bless whatever your hands touch. Amen. Then they would say, this is the part where they begin to deal with cleansing of the inside of the body, which we know that the kingdom of God is within us. God is within us. The Holy Spirit is within us. The word is within us. So the cleansing of the bitter herbs, that everyone would take a piece of the bitter herb, the karpas, okay, or the parsley, amen. And then they would pronounce this blessing. Blessed are you, Adonai, the creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the earth. Amen. And then they would dip it in the water. And then they would eat. Oh. See, because she be trying to get out. And I got a lot of the other stuff too, just for that. Okay. Amen. Now it says the breaking of the matzah and the creation of the afikomen, the yachas. Okay. And it says, and in haste did we go out of Egypt. Okay. And this matzah, which is the unleavened bread. This is why it's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or the Feast of Passover, because they had to leave in haste. So they did not have time to let the bread or the dough rise normally as you would to make the bread. Amen. They had to take a lamb 1 year old without spot or blemish and bring it into the house, because that would represent the sacrifice that they would do. Amen. Good morning, Sister Patricia. We can just do a little bit. All right. So the matzah is a symbol of affliction and poverty. The story of Passover tells us about the hardships and suffering that our ancestors endured. It reminds us of those who are in need today. So we say, whoever is hungry, come share our food and celebrate Passover. To those who are poor and oppressed, we pray for them and hope that in this coming year will bring a better life for all. Okay? So, and according to the word in Exodus chapter 12, it says, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. For the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eats leavened bread or bread with yeast shall be cut off. The first day shall be holy, a holy convocation. And in the seventh day, it shall also be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done. Our glory. save that every man must eat that only which is done for you. Verse 17, and you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the same self day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever. And then it also says in verse 23, well, we'll just keep it right there because now we're getting ready to go into what connects, why God not only destroyed the gods of Egypt by doing the 10 plagues, it was a representation that he is El Elyon. He is the Most High God. He is God over all. And he had to humble Egypt because Pharaoh, and Pharaoh just thought that, okay, that he could just treat God's people. They forgot what Joseph did for them. Amen. So it's the next portion is what is called the four questions. Okay. It's the time when they would give a chance for the young people to ask the four questions of God. It says, why is this night different from all other nights? Okay. And it says, because it says, on all other nights, we eat the chametz and the matzah, but on this night, only the matzah, okay? And it says, on all other nights, we eat many vegetables, but on this night, only marah, or the bitter herbs. On all other nights, we only dip once. We don't dip even once, but on this night, we dip twice. On all other nights, we eat sitting up or reclining, but on this night, we all recline, okay? So in other words, according to Exodus chapter 12, it says, and Moses called for the elders of Israel, and it says, take the lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. So the lamb that they brought into the house was called the Passover lamb. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he says, Christ, our Passover. So he was the lamb that was slain. And this is why he was crucified during the midst of the Passover celebration. He said, you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood, okay, which was the blood that God said, save the blood from the lamb that is in the basin, strike it on the lintels, and on the side post, so the side post and the lintel was the top door post, amen. And you shall close the door and none shall go out until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel and upon the side post, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and your sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you come to the land that the Lord will give you according to the promise that you shall keep this service. Okay. And let me see here. Anything right there? Yes. So we'll stay right there. Okay. So, so these four questions were asked by four different children, representing the wise child, the wicked child, the simple child, and the child too young to ask. Amen. So now we will go into when they would take the second cup, and before they drank, they would do what is called the speaking of the plagues, which God did to humble the Egyptians. So what they would do is they would take the cup, okay? They would take their pinky, dip it in the cup, and then they would pronounce each plague and then sprinkle what was on the finger onto a napkin representing these 10 different areas, amen? And it says, blood. Frogs, lice, wild beasts, the cattle plague, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and the killing of the firstborn.
Can I say something?
Yes, of course.
So this, what's happening is a representation of what the, so they had, so I don't want you to think, okay, well, if you don't do this, you're not blessed of God. This is a representation of the, and I was even looking up just to kind of give you an understanding of what we're doing. So it says the Seder, often spelled Seder in different, is a rooted in biblical, in the biblical commandments. Though the term itself and the ritual as practiced today do not appear in the Bible, the Seder is a ritual feast that marks the beginning of the Jewish holiday of Passover. It involves retelling, and that's what Pastor is doing, the story of the Exodus from Egypt, which is detailed in the book of Exodus. So he's reading a lot of scriptures from Exodus. The elements of the Seder, such as eating matzah, the unleavened bread, the bitter herbs, things, and he's recounting and recounting the story, are commanded in the Bible. But the structured meal, with its specific order and additional rituals and evolved later in Jewish history, right? So what he is doing is, this is a representation of all that the people of Israel done. And so this is a way that we are commemorating, that we are, he's recounting, he's retelling you the story. He's taking you through the story of the Passover. The people in the Bible didn't necessarily do all of these elements, but what he, it's evolved over time. And so the Jewish people, they have a long, they do hours of this. And so we are doing a recap and just taking out elements to show you what this represents. And so this is a way of us honoring and keeping the feast. So don't get caught up like, what are y'all doing? I know if I logged in and it's like, what the heck? This is a representation, right, of us honoring and retelling and recounting the story that is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. All of this. So I wanted to make sure and lay that context so you don't think, oh my God, they have gone off into the deep end. He's dipping his finger
in the drink.
Right.
And we're getting ready to drink it.
And right? They're eating all these bitter herbs. This is a representation. And we believe, because what God has told us as a ministry, that by emulating that, by doing this, by recounting, that there's a supernatural aspect that's happening. Mm-hmm. We're not being caught up in religion and tradition, but we're honoring God. We're keeping the Passover and we're telling it and explaining the significance and how by in this season, in this day, how this can impact your life.
Amen. And then to also correct what I said, because Prophet Tanya was absolutely correct. All the little things that we're doing right now are not necessarily in the word, but the meal itself that they did
to
sacrifice the lamb,
yes,
and to make the matzah bread because they didn't have time,
yes,
for the bread to rise. And, you know, all this, they had to eat this in haste because that evening God commanded them,
right,
to get out of Egypt, because God was not only going to destroy the firstborn of all the beasts, but it was also the killing of the firstborn of all mankind in that area, because God says he was going to destroy the gods of Egypt because they forgot what he did when Joseph was second highest in the land. So I just wanted to make sure that we make that clear. Amen.
And I believe that in all of this, mm-hmm, that God, them doing this, because they did sit down and eat.
Right. No, they actually.
Right. They were sitting on their.
On the ground.
On the ground, eating and mm-hmm. celebrating God. Mm-hmm. And something supernatural. Mm-hmm. There's an anointing in this. There's an anointing in even us, even just doing this, even online.
That's right.
So that you catch hold, mm-hmm. as I said in the beginning, that this Passover time is a time of reconnecting to mm-hmm. God. We're taking the time. We're slowing down our busy, crazy schedule that the enemy wants us to get so caught up that we don't take the time. That's why Pastor is taking the time to recount and give you understanding of the feast of the Passover.
Amen. So after they dipped and did this, then they would make the affirmations just like Prophet Tanya did at the beginning of,
that's
of
right.
the service. And remember, this is a time of remembering. He yeah. said, do this to remember.
Yes. How,
listen, you might not have lived in Egypt at this time, but you remember how God brought you out of bondage. Being in sin was bondage. But God says, because of the blood that was shed on the cross,
yeah.
which Christ was our Passover lamb, now we can be cleansed and be detached, or bondage, or the slavery of sin is destroyed, and we are no longer members of it. So they would pronounce these affirmations just so that way they would always remember that God is God. And it says, had God brought us out of Egypt but not executed judgments against the Egyptians, it would have been enough. Now, every time I say a phrase, we're gonna say this Hebrew word, deinu, which means it would have been enough. So had God not brought us out of Egypt but not executed judgments against Egypt, it would have been enough. Deinu.
Deinu.
Or dainu. I'm sorry, dainu. Had God executed judgments against them, but not upon their gods, it would have been enough. Deinu. Had God executed judgments against their gods, but not slain their firstborn, it would have been enough. Deinu. Had God slain their firstborn, but not given us their wealth, it would have been enough. Deinu. Had God given us their wealth, but not split the Red Sea for us, it would have been enough. Deinu. Had God split the Red Sea for us, but yes. not led us through on dry land, it would have been enough. Deinu. Had God led us through it on dry land, but not drowned our oppressors, it would have been enough. Deinu. Had God drowned our oppressors, but not provided our needs in the desert 40 years, it would have been enough. Deinu. Had God provided our needs in the desert 40 years, but not fed us manna from heaven, it would have been enough. Deinu. Had God fed us the manna but not given us the Sabbath, it would have been enough. Deinu. Had God given us the Sabbath but not brought us into Mount Sinai, it would have been enough. Deinu. Had God brought us to Mount Sinai but not given us the Torah, it would have been enough. Deinu. Had God given us the Torah but not brought us into the land of promise, the land of Israel, it would have been enough. Deinu.
And can I say something? So I love that you said that these were affirmations,
mm-hmm.
right? And so when we look up what an affirmation basically is, a positive statement that can reshape your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
your belief,
mm-hmm.
and your experiences. They're used to challenge and overcome negative and sabotaging thoughts.
That's
so
right.
them speaking this
mm-hmm.
was reminding them
right.
of what God brought them out of.
There we go.
Right? The word affirm means to state something as fact.
That's right. Come
this
on.
Was to assert strongly and publicly. So mm-hmm. this is done publicly. So during the Jewish Seder, they say this. This is done publicly.
Out loud.
It involves, to affirm means it involves declaring something to be true or valid, often with confidence or conviction.
There we go. Come
so
on.
So we're
come
saying on. And doing these affirmations, right? Mm-hmm. What does they mean again?
It would have been enough.
It would have been enough. So they're saying these statements, and then they're saying Dayinu, it would have been enough. They're publicly, and as they're hearing this, mm-hmm. they're being reminded what God brought them into and where God is taking them.
That's right.
Because it's just like, you know, we have all these different celebrations during the year and, you know, in the world. We celebrate to remember.
Birthday.
Right.
Birthday.
Martin Luther King
Day.
We celebrate Day. Mm-hmm. To keep in remembrance what God brought us from and where we are now. Because if he hadn't brought us up, we couldn't be where we're at.
Jesus could not have done.
Absolutely.
He could not have died on the cross unless this was done first.
Absolutely.
High glory.
So again, do not get caught up in the ritual of what we're doing, but there's a significant supernatural spiritual anointing that God wants you to understand that he's passed over. The blood in the blood is wholeness, in the blood is cleansing, in the blood is protection and security.
Come on.
All right.
He said, when I see the blood.
Yeah.
Listen. Here what you got to understand.
Yes.
No matter what they had on them.
Russia.
When he saw the blood, just like in Psalms 102.
Yeah.
He will come and he will arise and have mercy.
Yes.
He had mercy
yes.
because for 400 years,
yes.
their descendants had not did what yes. God had told them to do.
That's
and
right.
that's why they were in bondage. But God said, even after 400 years, when I see
yes.
the blood, when I hear, you remember what I'm doing.
Yes.
See that you say, I'm going to stop.
Yes.
I'm going to stop the hustle of making brick and mortar
yes.
or the hustle of the day.
Yes.
And you stop to remember me.
Yes.
I will have mercy and pass over you. Oh, come on now.
Mm.
So
hallelujah.
They would take this second cup. And it says that we join together to glorify and bless God for bringing us out of slavery and bondage,
yes.
for granting us our freedom and for turning our sorrow into joy. We give thanks for God for helping us to reach this night so we may carry out the Seder, eating the offerings and symbolic sacrifices while singing praise for our redemption
Hallelujah.
And freedom. Blessed are you, Adonai. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech alolam, Borei pri hagafan. Blessed are you, Adonai, the creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. You drink the second cup.
The whole thing?
Yep.
And then we need to pour more in?
Yep. So now would be the blessing over what represents the matzah. This was a foretelling of how Jesus would sacrifice himself on the cross. As you can see, it's burnt. There are holes in the bread.
Come on now.
It's crispy on the edges because this represented everything that Jesus went through on the cross.
Say that again. Show that. Show.
See? All. See how there's dots or little holes? Okay. This represents every sin that Jesus would take
wow.
on the cross
Russia.
For what they did up until that time and what would happen after he died, even in our generation. This is why he said to do this as a memorial forever.
And so could we even say then that as we are going through this, mm-hmm. this is a representative of the things that you've done in your life mm-hmm. in this dispensation.
That's right. Yeah, that is right.
Right? Because again, we are bringing this into today.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just caught up in some ritual.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, I'm going to show you this right here because the bread represents the body, which brings healing and wholeness. Okay. And what they did was the first taking of the bread, and after I bless it, is that they would dip it in the bitter, the white substance on the plate is what we call now horseradish. and it represented all of the burden and all of the suffering that they went through, because it's bitter. Amen.
But it represents today as well.
That's right.
So you take this on.
So whatever that you're dealing with,
yes,
you might be dealing with oppression and depression,
yes,
but that is something that you need to be delivered of. And he said, I am come down to deliver you. Yeah. You might be dealing with sickness in your body.
Come on now.
You might be dealing with debt, lack, and poverty. You might be dealing with something.
But
whatever it is, the remembering of the Lord at this Moadim, this appointed time, he said, I am come down to deliver you. And he said, blessed are you, Adonai, the creator of the universe, who brings us bread from the earth. Blessed are you, Adonai, the creator of the universe, who also makes us holy with your commandments, has instructed us in the eating of the matzah. So we would take it and we would dip it in the bitter mixture.
Yeah, I'm not eating that much. I'm just letting y'all know that now.
Y'all just need to pray for
I'm dipping
Prophet
it.
Tanya.
Okay.
And then we take
Jesus
it.
Is taking, this is representing Jesus and all of my issues, right?
Yep.
Woo.
So that's called the bitter herb. Mm. And then they would speak the blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam asher kishanu b'mitzvah sitzbanu al afkiat maror. Blessed are you, Adonai, the creator of the universe, who makes us holy with your mitzvah and has commanded us concerning the eating of the martyr or the bitter herb.
Yeah.
This martyr represented when Moses went to Pharaoh the first time and said, God said, let my people go so that they can come and worship me. And Pharaoh said, I don't respect you or your God. And in fact, take the straw away from them and make them make bricks. Bricks with no straw. So he added more oppression. This is why God had to do him in, because he just thought that he was all that and a bag of chips. Okay.
You talking about he had to do Pharaoh in?
Yeah. He had to go ahead and take him out, because it represented Pharaoh represented the taskmaster, the one who was causing the oppression of his children. Now, here's the great part. Now is when we would take another portion
of the matzah bread.
Okay.
Which represents what?
The body of Christ. Okay. And then we do a double dip. We would do the marah, but he also had.
What's the marah?
It represented the substance that they would make the bricks out of.
Okay.
Marah, the bitter herb. Because he oppressed them, because they made bricks with this substance and straw, because the straw held everything together.
Yeah.
So they would dip it in the marah, or the bitter stuff, the stuff that Prophet Tanya don't like. And then he would dip it into the sweet.
Be careful not to let it fall on your computer.
The sweet stuff called the Hebrew word for this is the charetz, which would be the sweet stuff. Okay.
Okay, so we're just take me again.
Tell her to do it right.
I'm not eating all that. God sees, he sees that I am making an effort.
Yeah, we're gonna work on that. So then they would take it now. And then they would say, blessed are you, Adonai, the creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Barak atu Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam barei pri hagafen.
So we eat it?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the bitterness.
And the sweetness.
What does the sweetness represent?
The land of milk and honey.
Come on. Wait. See, you going too fast on that.
I had to chew it first.
Right? See, so this is this time mm-hmm. we're flowing into the land of mm-hmm. milk and yes. honey.
Right. This is the representation where they were going. See the bitterness represented where they were.
Ha, come on now.
But the sweetness represented where they were going.
We have to eat it again?
No, I'm gonna go ahead and get me a double dip. I want a double portion.
You know what? I'm good. We're one. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to flow with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you stop? Okay. See, this is definitely not a ritual because he's acting a little greedy right now. Really? But again, I love it. The sweet, mm-hmm. the milk and honey. So keeping this time. Mm-hmm. See, you've been going through, some of y'all been going through hell and high water, but God has come down in this season and says, no more, mm-hmm. no more. If you will believe, I'm here to cause you to enter into a new dispensation. Mm-hmm. Even as you are watching this, mm-hmm. I'm decreeing and declaring those of you that are watching this, and you may have been going through some stuff, mm-hmm. because you are watching this, this is a supernatural connection for you. It's an appointed time for you, and God has come down to get in your situation to cause you to begin to go into the land of milk and honey and get and out from bitterness.
Amen. This is the third cup, right?
I think so.
Okay, so now we will lift up the third cup, and the third cup, the leader of the Seder would have one of the kids go to the front or the back door, and this represents the entering or the calling of the prophet Elijah into the home.
Yes,
because we can now remember Elijah did not see death. So this is the prophet, the prophetic voice of God. And the leader would hold up the cup of wine saying, someday the prophet Elijah will return to earth and lead the way for the age of peace. In the spirit of the Passover, as a celebration of freedom, we welcome the spirit of Elijah into our home and to our Seder. And they would open up the door, enter Elijah the prophet. May you soon come and issue the great age of peace.
So wait, go before, okay, explain that again, because what you talking about? Okay. You letting some spirit in.
Okay.
Make it plain.
The spirit of Elijah. Ha,
come on now.
Okay. Elijah was the prophet of God that did not see death. God came and got him with the fiery chariot. He represents the prophetic voice that leads us. The Revelation talks about that when Jesus comes down, that there will be 1,000 years of peace.
Come on now.
Come on, somebody.
So
we ask for the spirit of Elijah to enter our home.
Yes.
So our home represents the age of peace. Ah. Come on now. Come on. Jesus said, peace, be still.
Yeah. Glory. So some of y'all, you have been living in an era of discontent. An era of chaos, an era of oppression, all kinds of havoc. Mm-hmm. And so even as you are partaking, right, God is saying peace, nothing, and what shalom.
Nothing missing.
Nothing broken.
Nothing lacking. Nothing out of place. Nothing out of joint.
And so even as you are partaking in this, we're supernaturally believing that this is a season of peace in your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And then we would drink. Blessed are you, Adonai,
Thank you, Jesus.
Our God, the creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Yeah.
Drink the third cup. And then we would fill the last cup. And then the person leading would speak this blessing, because this represents that if the Lord doesn't come and snatch us away out of the air, because I know what we taught in church sometimes.
Come on now.
Okay,
it's erroneous, right?
Okay, the rapture. Okay, the word of rapture is not in the Bible, but the Bible says that we'll be caught up with him in the air. So this last cup represents that Barak Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Aolam Borei Pri Hagafan. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, the creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. If you do not come and get us at this Passover, then they would say, Lashana Haba Barushalam, which means next year in Jerusalem.
Okay, so what do you mean? Break that down. Come back and get us. What are you talking about?
In Revelation, it talks about how we'll be caught up in the air with him, okay?
Right.
I know in the church, they say rapture, okay?
Right.
Sometimes the word rapture is not in the Bible, okay? The actual phrase is caught up okay, to be caught up in the air with him. The Bible says that those who are sleeping would rise, okay, would rise, and those who are still alive would be caught up in the air with him.
You're gonna.
Yeah, because it's already stopped here, okay? So now it says, if you do not come during this Passover, next year we're going to meet you in Jerusalem, okay? And then they would say, and then they would drink the fourth cup. And then that would be the end of what is called the Seder. And then they would take an offering and do all these things. So now we're going to do that also.
Are you going to take this off?
Mm-hmm. Amen. So now the Bible says this, okay? Because now remember, God's kingdom was built on seed time and harvest.
Thank you, Lord.
The Passover represents the time and season of the seed time, okay?
Yes.
It's the beginning rains. It's when God, because they live in the desert, they would believe God for the rain,
yes,
so they could break up the fallow ground and get it prepared to receive the seed that they would live off of for the rest of the year. So the Bible says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Okay, the seed time is the period of planting seeds or investing diligently and consistently in the kingdom of God. The harvest is the manifestation of the fruit from your seed sowing. Okay, so go ahead and get your offering ready. Amen. We're going to sow. You can sow into the ministry by using the website. Okay, you can also go directly to PayPal at the @restoredmintl. But on the website, we also have the PayPal button at www.restoredministriesint.org. And you can also use the Zelle and go from your account straight into the ministry account using our Gmail at restoredmintl@gmail.com. Now listen, we're going to say, you can either sow your new beginning seed of 8888 or 18888, or you can sow your 2024 seed of $224 or the 2024, or sow your very best seed. This is how and when you get your seed into the ground. You just heard the word.
Can you talk about how important this seed is in this season of Passover?
Okay.
How important is this?
Here's the key. Because according to what we read in Exodus chapter 12, mm-hmm, this is the beginning of the year for you.
Wow.
The beginning of months. So now how you sow right now is going to represent how the rest of your harvest is going to be for the rest of the year.
Oh, say that again.
I'm going to say it again. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest. When you sow today, right now, we just went through a way of giving you understanding and some clarity of what the history,
the recounting, the story, the remembering
of the history of the Passover, how God brought them out of bondage. Now, how much would you invest in this time to keep your life out of bondage? Okay, I mean, look, we put money into 401k, we put money in retirement,
come on, we
put money in IRAs and all this other stuff, but we won't invest into our spiritual kingdom.
Yeah,
come on now. In God's kingdom, everything works by spirit first, then it manifests in the natural.
Yeah.
You're planting seed today.
Yeah.
It's going to activate your spiritual harvest,
yeah,
high glory from heaven, and activate it into your natural harvest in your kingdom, in your garden, in the natural.
Right.
So listen, sow your seed. Sow your seed right now. When you sow it into the ministry, you're sowing it. The Bible says, bring your tithes and your offering into my house that there might be meat. See, bring it to the storehouse. See, you're storing up. You're being diligent. You are, listen.
The
seed leaves your hand,
but it
never leaves your life. We are receiving from the seed of Abraham. That was before Passover.
Right.
And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
But let's bring it to today. Even seeds that we've sown, there's multiple of seeds. You never know which seed is the seed that brings a certain blessing in your life. Mm-hmm. That's why you have to continue that consistency. Mm-hmm. What did I say in Hebrews 11:6?
without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, that word diligent in the Bible means consistently, those who diligently seek him.
Right.
When you're sowing seed, you're chasing and you're running after the Father.
Come on,
you're
now.
Running after God.
Yes.
Seek ye first the kingdom. Okay.
Yes.
Now, as you sow your seed today, I want you to put this affirmation on it. I'm blessed and I receive it. Come on now.
I'm
blessed and I receive it. Come on, type that. When you sow your seed, type that in the comments. Amen. I'm blessed, empowered to prosper and be successful, and I receive it. See, you are affirming what God is doing in your life. You're making a decision.
Yes.
I'm going to have God's empowerment, his favor, and everything that comes with it. Oh, my God. What's that American Express commercial? Membership has its privileges.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now. We are in the kingdom. And membership has its privileges.
Yeah.
Come on, sow your seed. Now, if you want to receive what is called the prophet's reward, you can also sow into the hand of the supervising priest of the ministry, which that is me, okay, Prophet Michael Bryan. Okay, I'm the supervising priest. I am the one that God holds responsible over the ministry. And what you understand is when you put the seed into the hand of the prophet at, you know, you can use my Cash App, $MD Bryant, that you are activating what's called the teruma, okay? The teruma, which is when you activate Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 30.
Mm-hmm.
He says, the first of your first fruit. See, what we're sowing today represents a first fruit because it represents the beginning of this season in your life. It says, and of every sort of your oblation, that Hebrew word is teruma, shall be the priest. You shall also give unto to the priest the first of your dough, that he, the priest, may cause or speak the blessing to rest. Didn't we talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
That the peace, that the rest would remain in your house.
Right.
You are the house. The house begins with you.
Yes,
the kingdom of God is in you.
Absolutely.
So you are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
God is within you. The kingdom is within you.
Yes.
All of heaven is within you.
Yes.
But then God says, when you put it into the hand of the prophet, he can speak and declare on your behalf that the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and add no sorrow would rest in you. So listen.
Yes.
Sow your seed. Do it right now. Make sure that you say, I'm blessed. I receive it. Sow your seed. Amen.
And so as he was talking about the teruma,
mm-hmm.
there are a number of ways, and that's on the left side of the screen, the teruma, that 2.5%. It was an offering.
Right side.
The right side of the screen. So you can do it by, if you have PayPal, you can do it by using his email, PastorMichaelDBryant@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you have your banking institution, it can go through Zelle,
mm-hmm.
Zelle with QuickPay. So you could go to your banking institution and you would use his email address, michael@rtuproductions.com. Mm-hmm. Or you can sow with Cash App and you use the handle $MD Bryant, Michael Danielle Bryant.
I didn't tell you to give my middle name.
What? You got MD. It right there.
Call me MD.
Oh, doctor, right? Amen. So you can sow this seed directly to him, because one of the things that he didn't say is that back in the day, the priests lived only off the offerings that the people brought to the priest.
That's right.
If the people didn't give, the priest didn't eat.
That's right.
And so we negate that because there has been so much abuse,
mm-hmm.
but there is a principle. God orchestrated, he set it up. There is a principle where you sowing that teruma to the man of God. And this is something that we even practice.
That's right.
You know, we were taught this and we sow it up. And so every time we get any kind of money, we break off our tithes, we break off our teruma.
Because it,
right.
listen, it.
It works.
Not only does it work, okay, because it's not like some magic show, okay, go you
well,
put this in and then magically poof, this happens.
Yeah.
No, God's spiritual kingdom. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not stop. Whether it's the seed into the ground of the ministry or into the hand of the prophet, there's a harvest on your seed sowing. And when you sow the teruma, you are activating the gift within the prophet that declares the blessing is in the mouth of the prophet. Oh my gosh. The Bible says that the power of death and life is in the tongue. So when you sow your seed, the prophet,
the supervising priest,
okay, prophet. The prophet or the supervising priest represents the mouth of God speaking on the behalf of God over your life.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good.
Listen.
Yeah.
In the Bible, you never went to the prophet without an offering. When you read about the feast of the Lord,
that's right.
He says, you come into my presence 3 times in the year and don't come empty-handed.
Yeah.
Because when you come and you make the exchange, oh, come on, somebody. When you make the exchange, God activates the supernatural on your life. Father, I thank you, Lord God, as they sow their seed, you said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. Father, whether it's the new beginning seed or the 2024 seed, Father, I speak the blessing that from the north, south, east, and west, above and beneath. They're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going out, blessed coming in. Everything that their hands touch is blessed, and wherever the soles of their feet shall tread upon is theirs and blessed. So, Father, I declare and decree that the blessing rests in their house. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
So listen, we want to thank you for joining in. Please don't miss the Daily Bread. I'm on Monday through Friday. Listen, I just don't do this on Sunday. Okay, come and get a little encouragement before you go to work in the morning. Okay?
Amen.
About 6:30, 6:45 Mountain Standard Time. Amen? But listen, he said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word. Get the word. Reap your harvest. Have a great rest of the day and the weekend. Be blessed.
We love you.